Now, back at home, and you'll remember last Wednesday, the tented village of unaccompanied asylum seekers was removed from Mount Street in Dublin. More than 200 people were bussed to alternative accommodation in Crookslink, City West and Swords. That operation happened after Taoiseach Simon Harris told the Dáil, "We do not live in a country where makeshift shanty towns are allowed to just develop." However, over the weekend, another similar community has sprung up along the banks of the Grand Canal, and there are now more than 70 tents there. Our reporter Kieran Dineen spoke to people there yesterday evening.
What's it like staying here?
It's cool. Well, the volunteers, they are trying to at least make things easy for us. They provide the tent and this cover-up. And they also come with food.
Okay.
And water.
What's your plan? It's just to stay here until a bed becomes available?
We can't force the government, but we pray God will help them to do the needful for us.
Why did you leave Nigeria?
I have problem in Nigeria because it has to do with life, threatening of life, assassination.
You have a protective boot on your leg. What happened to your leg?
I'm hurt. Too broke my leg.
It broke?
Yeah. Broken. Maybe 2 weeks. Do you stumble here? You understand?
You stumbled.
Yeah. To going hospital, St. James. That check, x-ray, you know.
And they said it's broken?
Yeah, broken.
In hospital, did you tell them that you're living on the streets, that you're homeless?
Yeah, that, you know, that say no good. You need the rest. You need not walk.
I live in Rat Mines, and I come down this way regularly, just cycling and that, and I've seen in the newspaper just there was a lot of people sleeping in tents. There's so much derelict buildings in Dublin City, buildings that are left rotting, and it seems to me like an absolute waste, and surely they could be put to better use, particularly in a time where there is a housing crisis. I find the contrast of that, to see people sleeping along the side of canals, that maybe more could be done. I think more planning needs to be done, not when it's too late and we end up with a situation like this where people lose their dignity and are, well, where do these people go to the bathroom, and you know, how do they acquire food, and do they know what services are available to them? They look pretty forgotten in a way.
I'm from Afghanistan. It's very nice country, it's people very kind. I'm here 5 days,
5 days?
Yes. No beds here, and sleep, worry about. Here, take a shower, no shower.
People say take a shower in the water.
Yeah, my parents say take a shower. I say worry about no take a shower.
We used to live here just 8 years ago, right around the corner on Love Lane, for 4 months, and I loved this walk. I used to walk this every day, and I am just shocked to see all the tents around the city.
Just helping here. My guys from Pakistan or from Afghanistan and just coming here. I got my accommodation. I have accommodation. Just filling the forms, and if I have a little money, I'm giving them. If new arrival, just buying some food for them, a little bit, you know, water. And also, if they don't know about information, like where to go and from where to get, like, a PPSN card or how to get lawyer, everything. So some people cannot speak in English, and they can speak my own language. So last night I saw there was two people, they keep bugging and keep saying bad words, but we cannot say anything, we just choosing to be silent.
What were they saying?
Go back to your country and many things. So when someone's saying something, we just need to choose to be silent. We are not here for war or fighting or something. We are here for peace and love. Because our last option is ocean.
And that was our reporter Kieran Dineen talking to people at the encampment on the Grand Canal. Let's talk now to our political correspondent Paul Cunningham, and we're also joined by Green Party councillor Hazel Chu, who represents the area around Mount Street and Grand Canal. And Paul, we had Simon Harris saying, you know, less than a week ago now, that after the camp at Mount Street was removed, this will not be allowed to happen again, he said. It is happening. How big a problem is this now for the Taoiseach?
I think it's obviously a problem for those people who are sitting along the canal. I walked that road between sort of Leeson Street and Mount Street on Wednesday night, and there was just one tent and then two others further up. And now you've got I think it's approaching 80 tents there now, and people are washing themselves in the canal. So, like, it's a pretty desperate situation. But for the Taoiseach himself, this is a difficulty because he intervened in it. He was the person who said that makeshift shanty towns will not be allowed to develop again. But what do you know? Here they are again. And the difficulty, obviously, is that these people don't want to be by the canal and open to abuse from passers-by. They're hoping for accommodation, but as it currently stands, the state hasn't been able to provide it for them. What I'm hearing, Mary, is that more accommodation is expected to be available later this week, that it's going to come in two tranches, and that should deal with this problem, at least for now. Because as we know, the unprecedented numbers of asylum applicants are attending the International Protection Office on Mount Street. One day last week, 200 people were expected, 290 turned up. And so if those numbers continue, one would imagine that the accommodation is going to run out again. And what do you know, people are going to have to find a place to sleep on the streets.
Mm. There are really two issues here, aren't there? They need to progress the long-term solutions, but they also need what you were referring to there, these immediate solutions. They need beds for people urgently.
Yeah, and the government would argue that it does have a plan, and the plan is multifaceted. They are, on the one hand, trying to take over key-turn buildings, converting maybe an office space into a residential space. They are approaching local authorities for land for possible modular development. They've contacted churches as well, and they are continuing to seek out a new accommodation. On top of that, what they're trying to do is to speed up the application process, get determinations far more quickly. They had 4,000 decisions in 2021. They're going to have 14,000 this year. And so they say they're working in multiple areas. The Department of Justice published a three-page leaflet on Friday night illustrating all of the things that they're doing. The difficulty is that the number of asylum seekers expected to arrive into Ireland is 20,000 this year, and that is overwhelming the efforts that the government is trying to make. And so you're right, they have to do more. The question is, can they?
Mm. Paul, will you stay with us while we talk to Green Party Councillor Hazel Chew? And good morning to you, Hazel Chew. Elderly residents in the area, under this banner of Friends of Green Spaces, they've been writing of concerns not just about the encampment, but also about the well-being of those camping there and the well-being of residents. What do you believe should happen tomorrow when normal business resumes after the holiday weekend? Would you like to see the type of clear out we saw on Mount Street last Wednesday?
No, I think what needs to happen tomorrow and what is happening tomorrow, or what is happening right now, is that the department is looking for accommodation. They had issued a statement saying that accommodation was being sought, and that there are, of course, difficulties, as we all know, but that there is an urgent need, and they're doing their best to secure it. So the clear out we saw was based on the fact that there was accommodation that the men could move to, and it was a cross agency effort. And I'd like to see that happen more, that cross department effort there of providing accommodation and providing necessary resources as well, in terms of tackling this problem. And the minister has, as Paul stated there, rolled out a comprehensive strategy, or put it to cabinet before on the 27th of March. And through those that strategy, we'll look at the three different arms being rolled out, hopefully in different ways. But on the immediate, I just want to say a big thank you, Mary, to the volunteers working there. I know there's been a lot of talk saying, well, Dublin 4, Dublin 6, are the residents not welcoming these people? But they have been. Those volunteers that the men you interviewed spoke of, they're volunteers that are from Dublin 4, are from Dublin 6, various parts that have formed together to welcome these people and have been working with these people
which
for
is
a number
great,
of months now.
But I'm sure you'd agree it shouldn't be down to volunteers and local residents to do what they can do for people.
Absolutely.
And just to follow that through, has the government constantly been playing catch-up here? They've been on the back foot every time they're trying to respond to the latest crisis. Do you know of buildings that are available that could be used and that will be used in the next week?
Well, we certainly have suggested buildings. I think a number of representatives have talked about Baggot Street Hospital, have talked about other vacant buildings around the city, but the HSC and those departments that own those buildings have said that they're not viable. So do we know of immediate ones straight
just
away?
Stay with that point from me, Hazel Chew. How do you get past that then? If there are blockages from within other departments or from other agencies, other state agencies, how do you get past that one?
This comes back to my first point of it needs to be cross-agency, needs to be cross-departments. Like if you have an agency, a cross-agency effort like you have last week that continues where it's cross-department from the Department of Health to Housing to everywhere else, all working together. And it looks like what was presenting in terms of strategy was agreed as cross-department. It looks like that the Taoiseach the other day has said there's every effort. So I'm hoping that will continue, that there will be departmental efforts and it's not just placed on the Department of Integration.
All right. Well, Councillor Hazel Chew, thank you very much for joining us. And let's go back to Paul. Just two other issues, Paul, I wanted to bring up with you. That Daily Mail, the story this morning reporting consideration being given to moving the Taoiseach and his family to the Stewart's Lodge accommodation in the Phoenix Park. And a lot of concern now around security for ministers, for the Taoiseach, for former Taoiseach and for TDs as well.
Absolutely. To have people wearing balaclavas outside your house, as Roderick O'Gorman, the Minister for Integration, experienced, or the Minister for Justice having bomb threats, or the Taoiseach having protests as his children are being put to bed. It really has gone to the top of the political agenda. There's a sense that something has to be done. The Taoiseach did ask the Gardaí if more legislation was required or if they had enough powers. And as we understand, the Gardaí are saying the powers are there, but we're just not sure how they're going to be exercised. So it's certainly a concern, but we're waiting to see how that operationally is going to be rolled out.
Yeah, another issue for the Taoiseach today. He will have talks, I think, with the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, and this is around progressing this recognition of Palestine. What's going to happen there?
Well, what's interesting here is we're hearing that the Taoiseach believes that the time is coming close to formally recognise Palestine as part of the efforts to create a two-state solution between Palestine and Israel to try and bring peace to the region. To a certain extent, recognising the state of Palestine was usually seen in the negotiations as something that would happen once talks were up. It was nearly like a carrot which could be dangled in front of negotiators on the Palestinian side saying, we will act. But in the face of what's happening in the region at the moment, it looks as if that is being advanced more quickly. And certainly in the view of Spain and Ireland, they believe that recognising the state of Palestine should be happening sooner rather than later. So that is a change. What will be interesting to see is how many other countries in the European Union are on lockstep with them. That's something we don't know just yet.
All right. Well, Paul Cunningham, our political correspondent, thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland this morning.